This morning, we are once again continuing our series through the Bible titled, The Bible, A True Story. It's a series that's kind of been taking us on a journey through the scriptures as we continue to look at key people, key stories, and key scriptures that are hopefully helping us better understand who God is and really who He desires us to be. Last week in our series, we took a look at Isaiah, one of the prophets that God raised up in Judah during the time of the kings. Now, you may remember that after the fall of King Solomon, Israel had become divided. And Solomon's son Rehoboam became king of Judah, the tribe of Judah. But his servant Jeroboam had rebelled against his son and became the ruler of the other 11 tribes, which was still just known as Israel. So you had the 11 tribes of Israel now, and you had Judah. And over the next several hundred years, numerous kings reigned over these two countries. And because many of these kings did evil in the eyes of the Lord, God raised up prophets to hold these kings and the people of Israel accountable to His commands. Now, we've talked about three of these prophets so far throughout our series. A few months back, we actually talked about Elijah and Elisha just the amazing miracles that they did and got to be a part of. And then last week, as I mentioned, we talked about this prophet Isaiah and the vision God had given him in the temple, a vision of the gospel, God's grace and redemption. And now today we're going to look at another prophet by the name of Jeremiah. If you have your Bibles, you can open them to Jeremiah 20, as that's going to be our main scripture that we'll get to here shortly. But before we do, let me give you a little background here on Jeremiah. If we were to read through the book of Isaiah and the book of Jeremiah, we'd see a lot of similarities between these two prophets and their prophecies. Because like Isaiah, Jeremiah was a messenger of God's justice and grace. In Jeremiah 1:10, the very beginning, God speaks to Jeremiah saying this. I have it to go on the screen so you don't have to flip there. It says, "See today, I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, but also here, to build and to plant." And so like Isaiah, Jeremiah was called by God to speak words of judgment against the people of Israel. He spoke of how they broke their covenant with God by worshiping these other idols from these other countries. And he actually compares these acts of idolatry to the act of adultery, speaking truth about the fact that the people of Israel had, in essence, cheated on their God. And he prophesies in the way Isaiah did by sharing that because of their sin and rebellion against the Lord, that God was going to allow them to be conquered and be taken into exile. And we see that near the end of Jeremiah, both Isaiah and Jeremiah's prophecies are fulfilled as the people of Israel are taken into exile by Babylon. Now, unlike Isaiah, Jeremiah actually lived through this invasion of Babylon, and he actually witnessed this prophecy firsthand. But we see that at the end of Jeremiah, in chapter 52, Jeremiah shares a story that actually brings some hope back to the people of Israel in the same way that Isaiah's prophecy brought hope to them. Let me read that final story to you before we get into our main scripture this morning. Again, we'll put it on the screen so you don't have to flip there. In Jeremiah 52, 31 through 33, he says this, "In the 37th year of the exile of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, in the year Awel-Marduk became king of Babylon, on the 25th day of the 12th month, he released Jehoiachin, king of Judah, and freed him from prison. He spoke kindly to him and gave him a seat of honor higher than those of the other kings who were with him in Babylon. So Jehoiachin put aside his prison clothes and for the rest of his life ate regularly at the king's table. Now, this is why it's important, because the king of Jehoiachin that it's talking about in these scriptures is actually a king from the line of David. And hearing this story brings hope to the people of Israel because of God's word in Isaiah that talked about a shoot that would rise up from the stump of Jesse. A shoot from the line of David, basically. And it gave this hope that even though the people of Israel were in exile because of their sins and rebellion and failures against the Lord, that God hadn't forgot them. He was still planning to fulfill this prophecy through the line of David. And so you can see that there are a lot of similarities between the prophet Isaiah and the prophet of Jeremiah when it comes to the prophecies that they spoke to the people of Israel. But as I studied these two prophets, I realized that their lives actually represent two completely different messages. Isaiah's life was, as we talked about last week, it represents the gospel, right? You remember, it's the gospel of Jesus, right? If you were here, you got to hear my rap last week. I can't do it again. But his life represented the good news of God's grace, the reality that God is holy, that we're sinful, but that God has opened a door for us to experience righteousness through his grace as he paid the price for us on the cross, right? This is what Isaiah's life seems to represent when you look at his story in the scripture as a whole. The grace of God, the gospel, the redemption. While Jeremiah's life seems to represent something a little bit different. His life seems to represent the reality of what Jesus talked about time and time again throughout the gospels. When he said, if anyone wishes to follow me, he must take up his cross daily. And it's this reality that if we want to join Jesus in the resurrection of new life, right? We all want that, right? Yes, I want to join Jesus in the resurrection of new life. If we want to join him in that, we must also be willing to join him in the suffering as well. And if we read through Jeremiah, we see that Jeremiah experiences a lot of suffering because of his obedience to the Lord. He's known as this weeping prophet because he continues to share of the suffering that he goes through. And so this morning, I want to look at some of that suffering that Jeremiah experienced and see what we can learn from him in the midst of it. And so if you have your Bibles, you can follow along with me. We're going to read Jeremiah 20, verses 1 through 13. When the priest Pashur, son of Immer, the official in charge of the temple of the Lord, heard Jeremiah prophesying these things, he had Jeremiah the prophet beaten and put in the stocks at the upper gate of Benjamin at the Lord's temple. The next day, when Pashur released him from the stocks, Jeremiah said to him, the Lord's name for you is not Pashur, but terror on every side. For this is what the Lord says. I will make you a terror to yourself and to all your friends. With your own eyes, you will see them fall by the sword of their enemies. I will give all Judah into the hands of the king of Babylon, who will carry them away to Babylon or put them to the sword. I will deliver all the wealth of this city into the hands of their enemies, all its products, all its valuables, and all the treasures of the kings of Judah. They will take it away as plunder and carry it off to Babylon. And you, Pashur, and all who live in your house will go into exile to Babylon. There you will die and be buried, you and all your friends to whom you have prophesied lies. And I'm sure at this point, Pashur is like, I hope he's a false prophet, right? Verse 7 goes on saying this. You deceived me, Lord, and I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed. I am ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me. Whenever I speak, I cry out, proclaiming violence and destruction. So the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long. But if I say I will not mention his word or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. I hear many whispering, terror on every side. Denounce him. Let's denounce him. All my friends are waiting for me to slip, saying perhaps he will be deceived. Then we will prevail over him and take our revenge on him. But the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior. So my persecutors will stumble and not prevail. They will fail and be thoroughly disgraced. Their dishonor will never be forgotten. Lord Almighty, you who examine the righteous and probe the heart and mind, let me see your vengeance on them. For to you I have committed my cause. Sing to the Lord. Give praise to the Lord. He rescues the life of the needy from the hands of the wicked. And we're going to stop there this morning. We see Jeremiah here at the beginning of these scriptures. He gets beaten and put into the stocks for speaking the word of the Lord. And it's pretty easy to see that even though Jeremiah knows he's doing the work of the Lord, he's definitely discouraged. Now, discouragement's an interesting thing, and I think oftentimes discouragement comes when we're doing things right. Right? We're doing the right things, but we still experience challenges and difficulties. Or when we're working hard, harder than we've ever worked, but we're not seeing any progress. Or when we put the time in, day out, but we still continue to come up short. Discouragement is one of those things that just seems to eat away at us. It causes us at times to want to quit, to throw in the towel. It even causes us to say things to others or to God even that we wouldn't normally say. And I think this is where Jeremiah is at here in these scriptures. He's frustrated and he's discouraged and he really just wants to be done. He knows that God has called him to speak these truths to the people of Israel because of their rebellion. And he's been obedient to do that. But he continues to face struggle after struggle, difficulty after difficulty. He's endured physical, spiritual and emotional pain. All because, why? He's carrying out the will of the Lord. I think all of us can understand and relate to Jeremiah's discouragement here. We've all been discouraged at times in our lives. And I think we have to remember in the midst of that, that we live in a fallen world. And as we talked about in Ecclesiastes a few weeks ago, serving God doesn't mean that life will just all of a sudden get easy and everything will work out, right? We want to believe that sometimes, but it doesn't mean that life will get easier. Matter of fact, sometimes when we give our life to the Lord, it gets more difficult as we truly learn what it means to take up our cross daily. For the Lord, what it means to truly join him in his suffering. But tucked in the middle of chapter 20 here, from verses 7 through 13, Jeremiah gives us a glimpse of how he continues to move forward in the midst of discouragement. Jeremiah seems to push through his feelings of discouragement, and he's faithful to fulfill God's will as we see it carried out in Jeremiah. So how do we rise above discouragement? How do we deal with discouragement and continue to fulfill God's will in our lives like he did in Jeremiah's? Well, I think that there are four things in this section of scripture that we can glean from Jeremiah. And that's what I want to share with you this morning. And so as we look at these scriptures from 7 to 13 here, There were four things. The first I saw was this, is number one, we need to be honest with God. We need to understand that it's okay to tell God how we're feeling. It's okay to vent to God. Listen to Jeremiah's words to the Lord here in verses 7 and 8. He doesn't hold back. He says, "You deceived me, Lord, and I was deceived. You overpowered me and prevailed. I am ridiculed all day long. Everyone mocks me. Whenever I speak, I cry out, proclaiming violence and destruction. So the word of the Lord has brought me insult and reproach all day long." Jeremiah was honest here. He was telling God how he felt. He felt like he had been deceived by God. He felt like God had brought him insults and reproach. And let me say this real quick. God is not a deceiver. He may ask us to do things that are hard, things that we may not want to do, but the truth is God is not a deceiver. It's just that Jeremiah was upset here. He was angry. And he was being honest with God about how he was feeling. It felt like he had been deceived. And it's okay to share how we feel with God. Because the truth is, God wants us to talk to him. Even when we're angry, even when we're upset and frustrated. And let's be honest, I don't think we're going to hurt God's feelings. Right? He's a big boy. Okay, he can take our honesty. He can take the frustration that we have in our life. And the fact is, he really wants us to be honest. He wants us to tell the truth. You see, the fact is, good relationships are always founded on truth and honesty. The sad thing is, there's a lot of dishonesty that goes on in relationships. And that's even true in our relationship with God. But if we want our relationships to work, they have to be founded on honesty. And we need to be honest with God. Because let's be real here. God knows when we're discouraged. He knows when we're upset. He knows when we're angry and frustrated. So why do we try to hide it from him? As if he doesn't know. We need to be honest with God. He wants us to tell him the truth. He wants us to express to him what we're feeling in our heart. We can't deny our emotions and our feelings. And so whether that's anger or frustration or fear, we have to be honest with God. And I think Jesus actually demonstrated this for us in the Garden of Gethsemane as he shared his fears of the cross, right? Hoping that there was another way. You may remember as he comes before the Father, he says, "If there be any other way, take this cup from me." He was being honest. He was scared. He wanted to do something different. You see, when we're honest with God and share our emotions with him, I think it's actually freeing, right? It enables us to vent, to get these angers and frustrations off our chest. Sometimes we just need to say them, right? You know, I have many meetings that I meet with people in the fireside room, and I half the time don't say a word, and I know it's hard for you to believe me in that. I'm a lot different when I'm listening to people and let processing what they're going through. But a lot of times I just sit there and I just let them vent. And it's amazing sometimes that that's just what we need. We just got to get it off our chest. And God is a great person to be able to vent to. He wants us to tell him the truth. He wants to know what we're feeling. God doesn't want us stuck in our anger or frustration. He wants us to be honest. He wants us be able to give those things to him so that he can help us through these feelings that we're experiencing. And the only way we can truly do that is if we're honest with him and allow him to bring the peace and healing to our lives. Because bottled up emotions only make things worse in any relationship. We know that, right? Bottled up emotions only make things worse in any relationship. We have to be honest. So when we're experiencing discouragement, I think first we start by being honest with God. And then secondly, number two, I think we need to continue to walk in obedience. Let me share with you why I say that. In verse 9, Jeremiah says, "But if I say I will not mention his word or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot." You see, our first inclination is to quit, to give up. Because then maybe it'll just go away, right? We hope that if we quit, it'll just go away. But the truth is, we have to continue to walk in obedience. Jeremiah was wanting to walk away from this calling that God had on his life. But he couldn't. He knew he wouldn't be at peace if he walked away. He wouldn't be at peace doing anything else. God's calling and truth was like a fire in his bones that he could not put out. He knew he couldn't not do what he was called to do. Did you follow that there? I know you're not supposed to use a double negative, but I think it makes sense here. He knew he couldn't not do what he was called to do. You see, Jeremiah wasn't out preaching because he had something that he wanted to say to the people. He knew he was the voice of God, and not sharing it would have been worse for him. He would have been just like the people that he was speaking to, rebelling and sinning against God himself. In Jeremiah 1, Jeremiah receives this calling from the Lord to be his voice to the people of Israel. Let me read it to you again. You don't have to flip there. We'll put it up on the screen. It says this, Jeremiah 1, verses 4 through 7. "The word of the Lord came to me saying, 'Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations.' 'Alas, sovereign Lord,' I said, 'I do not know how to speak. I am too young.'" Why is it that all these amazing men and women of God always claim, "I can't do it. I can't do it," right? Verse 7, it says, "But the Lord said to me, 'Do not say I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you.'" And so we see here Jeremiah had a calling on his life that he couldn't deny. And when you know that God has told you to do something, you know you have to do it, because the conviction and the consequences of not doing it are far worse than actually doing it. Now, many of you know my story. I was a youth pastor for 16 years, and that's all I ever wanted to be. I loved youth, and I hope to be a youth pastor for life. I would say, I'm a youth pastor for life. I want to be a youth pastor for life. I said it time and time again. But on September 28th, 2010, I was sitting in a service at our district conference. It's a big church. Everybody was there. I'm sitting there with a bunch of staff from our church. When the pastor speaking said these words, "If we want to get on this journey of being kingdom minded, it may mean we need to lament the loss of our preferred future. In other words, we may need to give up our plans and follow the Lord's." And as I heard those words come out of his mouth, I'm sitting there with staff on each side of me from our church in Newburgh. And I heard the Lord just speak in my heart. Say, "What's your preferred future, Darren?" I was like, "To be a youth pastor for life?" And then he said, "Are you willing to give up your desire to be the senior pastor that I've called you to be?" I couldn't deny how clearly I heard the voice of the Lord. And I was taught that it's not just enough to hear the voice of the Lord. You have to then actually obey it. And as much as I feared being a senior pastor, I couldn't overlook the calling and,
conviction that I felt to walk in obedience. Like Jeremiah, there was this fire in my bones to do what God had called me to do. And numerous times in the beginning, especially through the planting process and our first year here, faced many challenges and difficulties. And there were many times I was discouraged and frustrated. But I knew my calling. I knew I was called not just to be a senior pastor, but I knew I was called to Dallas. And I was challenged to continue to walk in obedience and to keep moving forward. Because I knew that the struggles and challenges of being disobedient would be far worse than the struggles and challenges of actually walking in obedience. And I think it's because of the third thing that we learn here from Jeremiah, which is this. We need to remember that God is with us. He is with us. Jeremiah knew that in the midst of these challenges, he wasn't alone. In verse 11, he says, "But the Lord is with me like a mighty warrior. So my persecutors will stumble and not prevail." Oftentimes in the midst of our discouragement, we look inward and we focus on our problems, our frustrations, or the specific situations at hand in our life. But the truth is we need to turn our focus to the Lord. We need to look to Him and be reminded that He is right there with us. He's there to help us every step of the way. You know, I wonder how different situations in our lives would be if we remained consciously aware of God's presence in our life. Imagine going into every situation that you face in life, knowing that God is right there beside us. Knowing that He can give us those words that we need in that moment. He can give us the strength we need to push through. He can be that shoulder to cry on. He can be those arms that wrap us and embrace us. See, the knowledge and understanding of God's presence in our lives can help us accomplish great things, even in the midst of our pain and discouragement, as He provides that courage, that strength, that comfort, that perseverance. A.W. Tozer wrote this. He said, "Living in the glow of God's presence will enable you to fight on despite discouragement." There are times where we may feel discouraged, but we have to remember that God is with us. He will never leave us or forsake us. And we can't forget also that He's already won the victory. Jeremiah knew that despite the struggles and challenges he faced, he wasn't on the losing side. He was on the winning side. God was with him like a mighty warrior, it says. And God would give him victory over his enemies. But it was in God's time and in God's way. And we have to trust in God because He is with us. And if He has called us, He will be there to give us what we need to accomplish His will. And the final thing we learn from Jeremiah about discouragement is this. We need to praise God regardless of the circumstances. In verse 13, Jeremiah says, "Sing to the Lord, give praise to the Lord. He rescues the life of the needy from the hands of the wicked." You see, learning to praise God in the midst of our circumstances has a way of turning our discouragement into joy. It takes us from defeat to victory, from fear to courage. Praising God is one of those weapons we have that Satan has no defense for. Because when we praise God, we're acknowledging that God is in control, that He is Lord of all things. Our focus is on Him, and regardless of what Satan throws our way, we continue to praise and seek Him. And we have to understand that praise isn't just thanking God for the good things that come our way. It's thanking Him in all things. And I truly believe that the praise we offer to God in the midst of discouragement is far more pleasing to Him than the praise we offer when everything's going perfectly.
It's easy to pray God or praise God when things are going good, right? But it's a lot different when things aren't going good. And as I was praying about this and processing this idea of praising God regardless of the circumstances, there were three things that I realized that praise does when we offer it to the Lord. And I know there's a lot more than three things that praise does, but in the context of these scriptures, I think that there are three things that God put on my heart when we praise Him, what it does. And number one, it redirects our focus. When we begin to praise God, it redirects our focus. Praise takes our mind off the situation we find ourselves in and focuses our thoughts on Him, which oftentimes allows us to see things from a different perspective. When we focus on Him, we see things differently. And as we focus on Him, we begin to remember that He is in control, that He is with us, and He will help us through these difficult times. And I think it can often remind us that God has a way of working all things together for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. And so first off, praise redirects our focus. Secondly, I think it acknowledges our trust in God. It acknowledges that we are trusting Him. Because when we choose to worship God despite our circumstances, we're putting our life in His hands. It's believing that He has a plan, and it's putting our trust in that plan. A few weeks back, we looked at Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, which says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight." You see, praising God in the midst of discouragement is doing just that. It's trusting God with all your heart. It's not leaning on your own understanding. And when we do this, God guides us down the path that He has for us, the straight path. And think about this. If you're in the midst of struggles and challenges, do you want to be on a path that loops back and forth and back and forth? I don't. I want to be on a straight path that gets me out of those struggles and challenges the fastest way possible. I want to praise God and acknowledge my trust in Him so that He will make my path straight. Amen. So we see here that praise redirects our focus. It acknowledges our trust in God. And thirdly, I believe it unleashes His power in our lives. Psalm 22:3 tells us that He inhabits our praise. So when we choose to praise Him, it allows the power and presence of the Holy Spirit to move in our lives. And when He moves in our lives, He also moves in the midst of those challenges and those struggles that surround us. And I think it's important that we realize the power that comes from this heart of praise and worship, because a heart of praise and worship opens the door for the movement of the Holy Spirit in our lives, which allows us to do and overcome all things. Why? Because of Christ, His Spirit who strengthens us. Amen. Which is why we need to praise God regardless of the circumstances. This discouragement that we talk about, it's a powerful tool of the enemy. It can weigh us down. It can get us off track, even cause us to want to quit and to give up, which is why it's important that we remember these things that we've learned here from Jeremiah that help Jeremiah deal with discouragement, and they can help us. We need to be honest with God. We need to continue to walk in obedience. We need to remember God is with us, and we need to praise God regardless of the circumstances. Let Him be our focus as we trust in Him and allow His power to move in and through our lives. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word. Lord, as we've been walking through Your word, Lord, just the amazing people, the amazing stories and scriptures, Lord, that speak of who You are and who You desire us to be, Lord. You are an amazing God who calls each of us, Lord.
to do your will, to do your work. And Lord, we want to be faithful to fulfill that calling. But the truth is that that calling is difficult, Lord. You yourself said that if we want to follow you, we have to take up our cross daily. Which means at times, Lord, as we celebrate in the resurrection of new life, we also have to participate in the suffering that it took to receive that. And so, Lord, there is discouragement at times that comes in this fallen, broken world that we live in. But we thank you and are thankful for the fact that even though we live in a fallen, broken world, you have given us tools and ways and things, Lord, of how we can deal with the discouragement, how we can deal with this difficult life that we walk through. And really, it's all about you, Lord. It's about seeking you and allowing you to be our focus, allowing you to guide and direct us, continuing to walk in obedience, to know that, Lord, you are with us in all things. And that if you've called us to it, you will be with us and help us to do it, Lord. And so we thank you for the truth in this. We thank you for your love for us and just your hand upon our life. Lord, we want to celebrate in that resurrection. And so we want to do what we need to do to get to that place. And so may we continue to seek you with all that we are. And may we continue to choose to walk in obedience. Lord, may it be that fire shut up in our bones, Lord, where we can't help but walk in obedience and do and live the way that you have called us to. May we come to that place where we experience you in such a real and powerful way, Lord. Like I mentioned earlier, Lord, when I heard you speak that day, there was no denying that it was you. And I pray that every one of us come to that place where those things that you speak into our hearts, there is no denying that's you. And that we choose to walk in obedience, as hard and as difficult as that may be, Lord. Because we want to be people who are obedient and who follow you, Lord. So we thank you for this word. May it encourage us. May it challenge us. May it help us to grow and be who you've called us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.